Are they secure? In whose hand? His. Who's got them? Even death itself. Who's got the stinger? Jesus. Who took the sting out of it? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Jesus said, I got it. Can you hear me? Who holds every promise in his hand? You got that? That's established. But we still don't know. Which promises? It says the promises God made to the fathers. If I find out who the fathers are and find out somewhere in the Bible what God promised them, then the promises God made to the fathers, Jesus confirmed and secured, and he's got them. Ain't that deep? So Acts 3:13 says the fathers are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now I'm on a roll. Because I know in Genesis chapter 12, waiting on the morning, chapter 13, 15, 17, 22, that's Abraham, 26, Isaac, 35, Jacob. If I study those chapters, guess what I'm going to read about? The promises that God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The promises that God made to the... And who secured those? Who do they belong to? Jesus. And by extension, to us. And you've heard this, and I'm ahead of myself, but Genesis 12, just look at a few of the promises he said to Abraham. Let's just get one of them that'll cure the waters. God loves the Arabs as much as he loves the Jews. Well, I'm just stirring it up now. And so if you base your political views on national Israel, and as long as we bless national Israel, America will be blessed. Where do they get that? The promise God made to Abraham was, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. But when you lift it out of that into the heavens where it belongs, those who bless Jesus are blessed, and those who curse Jesus are cursed. Those who bless his church are blessed, and those who curse his church are cursed. So you don't ever have to retaliate. Because if somebody puts their mouth on you as the seed of Abraham, the judgment is built in. Ain't that deep? On the count of three, shout out your last name like you're not ashamed of it. One, two, three. One more time. One, two, three. Now what you going to do, Abraham? He said, I will make your name great. You want the Greek word megas. I'm going to make it big. Give you a mega name. I'm going to take your name, put it in a megaphone, let everybody know your name. And the name of your children and your children's children. I'm going to enlarge and expand your name, my God, be on buildings and highways and in people's mouths and in their minds, your name. What you going to do with it, you that like your space and you that don't want anybody to know your business? You who are a private person. And I just don't want all that. I don't need all that. You are foolish. The only person that says that is the person that does not know in their heart who they are as a seed of Abraham. I'm going to make you mad or glad or sad. I want the name of Varner to be great. I want the name of my sons and my grandsons to be known in the nations of the earth. In the name of Jesus, I want that. See, some of you hear that wrong. You hear that wrong. God's screaming at us. I want to bless you. I want to enlarge you. Yep. It's the whole Jabez thing. Lord, enlarge my coast, my borders. But we've got residuals of this Baptist / Pentecostal theology, eschatology, that says there's nothing in this world that's worth anything, so let's leave it. It belongs to the devil and his crowd. Let's go to heaven. Besides that, there's a tribulation period coming. It's so great. If we're here, we could never survive it. This ain't hard. Listen to Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises, literally the announcements made. And Wendell, I didn't know this, but that word for made is re'o. the announcements as rhetoric. Think of rhema. It's the verb re'o, and it means these announcements or promises were spoken or declared. I wonder if you caught that or not. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises spoken, declared, prophesied. Watch this. He saith not unto seeds as of. The word is epi, and it means unto many, but epi also means upon many. Goodness, I can see the Father standing over us, Chuck, and over us, declaring this word over us to where it comes from above and comes down upon us. And he didn't make that upon or unto many, but he said, I made it to one. And then he says it, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All the promises were made to one seed. They were declared upon one seed, Christ. J. Dwight Pentecost, in his doctoral dissertation called Things to Come, a classic dispensational textbook, said that the seed of Abraham is in two phases, a natural seed and a spiritual seed. Correction, sir. Read Paul again. He didn't say the promises or announcements were declared upon two seeds. Because Abraham is my brother in Christ. The Amplified says, now the promises, covenant, agreements were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed, his offspring, his heir. He, God, does not say unto seeds, descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but unto your seed, that's capitalized, your descendant, that's capitalized, your heir, that's capitalized, obviously referring to one individual who is none other than Christ the Messiah. My Lord. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth, literally is anything, nor uncircumcision. The only thing that counts is a new creature. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Listen, the apostle did not mention seeds, a natural seed and a spiritual seed. The only seed that counted with Paul and the Lord was a spiritual seed. The seed of Abraham was Christ. Abraham the Chaldean was not a Jew. Elijah the Tishbite was not a Jew. The only thing that matters to God is faith. This is awesome. I have no advantage over the natural Jew, and he has none over me. We both must be born again by faith. That's the word of wisdom that clears the deck. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm pro-Jesus. I'm pro-faith. Again, I have no advantage over the natural Jew, and he has none over me. We both must be born. This is so elementary. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek in Christ. Galatians 6:16 mentions the Israel of God. Ephesians 2:11 to 13. Let me read it. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time when you were lost, you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were sometimes were far off or made nigh or brought near by the blood of Christ. Amplified, remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of or right in God's agreements, his covenants, and you had no hope, no promise, you were in the world without Christ. The Israel of God throughout the ages has always been a spiritual people. Get that and memorize it. The Israel of God has always been a spiritual people, one covenantal people who have come to God by faith, regardless of nationality. Listen, this is an awesome statement. We are now favored to live in the extremities of that singular covenantal purpose. That's powerful. We are the sons and the offspring of Abraham by faith. The key issue is identity, the nature of the seed. The seed is not determined by nationality, race, gender, or culture. The seed of Abraham has always been a spiritual seed. Here is the problem. And I'm ahead of myself again. If you believe dispensationalism, if you believe the popular notions of eschatology, you're still outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. You're still aliens. He said, that's what you were when you didn't know the Lord. Ephesians 2 contrasts an unsaved and a saved man. And I'm saying a lot. It begins by saying, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He starts in the garden, Genesis 3, weaves you all the way down through redemption's plan, ends up in the last four verses. He says, now we're a habitation of God through the Spirit, a temple and the Holy Ghost, Revelation 21 and 22. He runs you the whole panorama of redemption. And he contrasts the unsaved and the saved man. And right in the middle he says, but you who sometimes were far off in Adam are now brought near by the blood of Christ. And now you're no longer strangers, foreigners, but now fellow citizens with the saints. You understand that? He describes me in my unsaved, unregenerate state and says, at that time I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. If I believe Schofield, I still am. You get that later. He said, I'm a stranger from the covenants of promise. If I believe Schofield, I still am. Because Schofield said it was made to Abraham, natural Jew. Paul said it's made to Jesus and the church. If I believe Schofield, I still have no hope, and I got to invent me a false one. If I'm in Christ, I've got a fresh hope and a new hope and a living hope. I shall be like him. Can you get where I just said? I know I'm saying a whole lot. Clarice told me, she said, when you teach, slow down. I said, I ain't got no slow down in me. You catch up with me. She said, you say so much. I can't help that. The five things Paul used to describe an unsaved man: without Christ, no hope, aliens, strangers. That's what we were without Jesus. Can you follow me? But now. But if I believe Schofield, and you got to remember who energized Schofield, the god of this world, because the last thing your adversary wants you to know is that you now share the wealth in common. God, come on. In Jude 3, there's a common salvation. In the book of Acts, there's a common prison. But here, there's wealth in common. You just don't look at me like I'm special. You're just as special as I am. But I'm smart enough to know I've got me some wealth in common with Christ. Is he the heir of all things? Is he wealthy? Was Boaz a mighty man of wealth? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Is he wealthy? Who shares that commonwealth? The Israel of God is called that. We're a commonwealth. I can't even go into to Romans 11 because already some of you are having overdoses. If you'll go read my book sometime called The Three Prejudices, I exegete Romans 9, 10, and 11. Let me tell you what unlocks it. There's a wild olive tree and there's an olive tree. Schofield says the wild olive tree are Gentiles and the olive tree is national Israel. Everything in the Bible, it's either Adam or Christ.
Right, right, right.
The wild olive tree is like the wild man Ishmael. It's the old Adamic nature.
Right, right.
The olive tree is the tree of faith. And if Romans 11:23, he'll graft them in again, he grafted them in to begin with. I can't get you all that. Your brain will trip out. I'm just trying to say something. The seed of Abraham, if you don't get it any other way, get it this way. Take the tapes, take the notes, go read whose right it is, get it, get what you can, eat what you can. The seed of Abraham is Christ. Who's the heir of all things? Jesus. Who are heirs of God and joint heirs with him? We are. Who has all the wealth? Who has the wealth in common with him? We do. In Christ. The glorious anticipated outpouring of the Spirit upon national Israel is taking place in the context of the global outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh. That's what Joel promised. Somebody says, do you believe that there'll be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon national Israel? Yes. I believe he'll pour out his Spirit upon Israeli flesh, French flesh, Russian flesh, Chinese flesh, American flesh. But now that Jesus Christ has come, this is too easy. John the Baptist said, Matthew 3, 7 through 12, he said, the axe will be laid to the root of the tree. I'm saying the same thing over and over again, so many different ways. And if you study the Old Testament, the primary, the predominant thing that God was upset with Israel over was idolatry. He said, you boys keep worshiping other gods, I'm going to root you up. They did, he did. And Jesus came, John came, and the new covenant laid the axe to the root of the tree. That ain't hard. He uprooted that tree and planted a brand new vine in the earth. John 15, who is the true or genuine vine? Jesus. And the branches of that new planting are men and women from every nation. That ain't hard. You understand that? And so it is. You must hear that. And now that he has come, he leveled the field. There's neither Jew nor Greek. No one nation will ever be the head over the nations. Jesus is the head over the nations. And out of nations, many nations, he forms one nation. Come on, help me. Out of many races, he forms one race. Who am I talking about? The church, the church, the church. Am I boring you? Does any of this make sense? Is it about eschatology?
No.
What's it about? Knowing who he is as a seed of Abraham, who we are as a seed of Abraham, and what in the world that means. Tell somebody, I got a ticket. Say, throw away your peanut butter and crackers. God's chosen people. Listen to Galatians 3, 16 to 19 from the NIV. And this is all the further I'm going to get tonight. I've got 20 minutes left. I've said everything I came to say tonight. There's 7 points in there, and you got them in your notes. These notes are so delicious, I'm actually at the bottom of page 2. Are there 7 points? It says there, the law, not the church, that's dispensationalism's view, was parenthetical and did not disannul the Abrahamic covenant made in Christ. The church is not an afterthought in God's mind, but his eternal purpose. The church is God's chosen people, whom the New Testament doctrinal epistles designate to be 7 things. There's every scripture. Jews, the children of the promise who are accounted for the seed, the chosen people, generation and race, the holy nation, the true circumcision, the new or heavenly Jerusalem, and the Israel of God. There it is. That's not replacement theology. All 7 of those designations describes the church, the body of Christ, Jew and Greek, in one body by the cross. All nations, sizes, shapes, colors, races. Are we clear? And every one of those, Sam, gives us more information to help us to understand who we are. It's kind of like Ephesians. The theme of Ephesians is the church. That's what the Bible calls us in that chapter 1. In chapter 2, we're called the temple. You've heard me say this. In chapter 3, we're called a family. In chapter 4, we're called a body. In chapter 5, we're his bride, his wife, his woman. In chapter 6, we're the whole armor, we're his army. That's 6 different ways of looking at the same thing. Sam, these are 7 different ways that Paul used, the other epistles used. You've got to hear this. The major weakness of futurism or dispensationalism or Schofield is they try to interpret the New Testament in the light of the Old Testament. No. You interpret the old in the light of the new. So everybody's fussing about a strip of land over in Palestine, and Romans 4:13 says that Abraham was the heir of the world. Because when you bring it through the rent veil, wash it in the blood of Jesus, I'm after something now. Hebrews says it gets bigger and better. Can you hear this? And so, listen to this from the NIV, Galatians 3:16. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. Who dat? Jesus. Ain't that hard? So in Schofield, watch this, they say that the church was a parenthesis, parenthetical, an afterthought in the back of God's mind. No. Paul makes it clear what was added parenthetically. The law. And the law, watch this, did not disannul the promise God made to Abraham 430 years before the law. And I wish you just shout a little, look halfway excited. Some of you are sleeping and nodding, and I can't help it. Did God make a promise to Abraham? And when he made it to Abraham, who did he really make it to? No, you man-centered thing, you. You still didn't get it. I'm going to back up now. Did God make a promise to Abraham? And when he made it to Abraham, who did he have in mind? Jesus. Who did he make it to? Jesus. Who belongs to it? Jesus. Who's it belong to? Who has the authority to work it, administrate it? Who can make it work? Are we communicating? He didn't have you in mind. He had himself in mind. He swore by no greater. God, he made covenant by no greater. He cut it with himself. While Abraham was asleep with smoking furnace and a burning lamp, the Father and the Son passed down between the pieces, and God made a covenant with himself because he knew if he made it with himself, it'd never fail. You ought to shout. Somebody died and left you something and arose from the dead to become the executor of his own will to make sure you wouldn't miss this. And we sit like birds in the wilderness wondering who we are. And Pentecostal preachers have made it so bad for us. Calling us Gentiles. That's in the morning. I'll deal with that. Ethnos, heathen, ethnic, ethnoi. Don't you insult me by calling me a Gentile. As we'll see, four times in the New Testament Greek, that word is used to describe the Jewish nation. Caiaphas himself said so. And Caiaphas himself prophesied that Jesus would die for that Jewish ethnos. I'm excited over this. Y'all looking bored, but I'm excited. I'll talk to myself and get excited. What you going to do about this now? We're sitting here armed and loaded, got all this information of who we are, and it don't mean spit without faith. Because without that, we just hear it, but we don't do it and never act on it. And the first time you get up and open your mouth, all hell is going to be aimed at you. And it's going to look like God's people. What you going to do? Just whimper and turn around and say, I'm sorry, I'm just out of order here. I'm a woman. I shouldn't have said that. There are women under the sound of my voice that's got a call of God on your life, and you're sitting there afraid to be women. Just because men are afraid of you. More afraid of men than you are of God. Well, I better wind this up or I'll... I'm serious. And you are enlightened ones. You know the Word. Think of the hundreds and the thousands of wonderful Christian people who will live and die and go to heaven and never hear any of this. And have their ministry sabotaged by something more powerful than the Word of God, tradition. Cessationism, these things ceased. That's just a sugar-coated way of saying we're not living it, so let's create a God and a doctrine that corroborates our lifestyle. Let's conform Him to our image and have us a Baptist and a Methodist and a Pentecostal and a Kingdom Jesus rather than have Him conform us to His image. This is a marvelous study. You can read. I've got 17 minutes. I'm going to use it. If the tape runs out, wish you were here. Romans 2, 28 and 29, NIV. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the written code, such a man's praise is not from men but from God. Amplified, for he is not a real Jew who is only one outwardly and publicly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and true circumcision is of the heart, is spiritual, not a literal matter. There it is. The Jew is you. Heart circumcision. The Pentateuch, the Torah, the law, from way back talked about the circumcision of the heart, removing the foreskin of your heart. From the beginning, God was for that. Paul summed it up. He said, circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth. The Greek word is esti. Literally means it is nothing. The only thing that counts with God is a new creation, whether you're Jew or Greek. Somebody say, good preaching. The children of the promise who are counted for the seed. Galatians 4:28, we brethren like Isaac, sons of promise. Romans 9:6-8, NIV, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. That's like saying my daddy's a preacher, so I'm saved. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So if you're going to be reckoned like Isaac was, tell somebody I got to be a miracle baby. Say I got to have a miracle birth. Say by promise. By faith. Born again. In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children. That is so plain you'd have to be deaf, dumb, blind not to read it. But it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring, amplified. For it is not everybody who is a descendant of Jacob, Israel, who belongs to the true Israel. And they are not all the children of Abraham because they are by blood his descendants. That is to say, it is not the children of the body of Abraham who are made God's children, but it is the offspring to whom the promise applies that shall be counted as Abraham's true descendants. So Abraham's true descendant is Christ. And now Christ is in you. Tell somebody we're the chosen people. You've heard this stuff, man. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, NIV. But you, that's the church, referred to throughout verses 1 to 10, are a chosen people. It means a race, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. And point 4, taken from the same scripture, we're the holy nation. Jesus in Matthew 21, 42 and 43, I've already taught it. He turned to them and he said, I'm taking the kingdom from you. Just like he took it from Saul and gave it to David. He said, I'm taking the kingdom from you. And he said, I'm going to give it to a nation. Watch this. That will produce the fruit of it. I'm going to shock you now. Not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is part of the body of Christ. If you went by scripture. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. And see, I shocked you with that. I'm glad. It's the same thing. They're not all Israel which are called Israel. Take it to a deeper level. They're not all the overcomers just because you're in the church. But I'm bringing it back now. He said, Abraham and his seed, they're the true descendants. There's a lot of folk born again. They died and they go to heaven. But they've never known the power of Pentecost. They've never known the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They do not minister any life to anybody. They're pew warmers. They're in every one of our churches. I see you think I'm just picking. But I'm telling you something. He said, you're a holy nation. Watch this, please. He said, I'm going to give it to a nation that'll produce what? That's not just winning people to Jesus. Who are you influencing? How have you multiplied the thing that's in you? Have you gotten anything? I've been up here almost an hour and a half. Have you gotten anything out of what I shared with you tonight? You think preachers need to know it? Think people need to know it? What you going to do about it? What about the people in your world? You reach people I'll never reach. Watch this. I've ordained you, he said, that you might bring forth fruit. It produces, Genesis 1, 11 and 12, it produces after its own. So I'm after preachers. I'm after preachers in my world. I want to produce after my own kind so that the kind of preaching and teaching they do is the kind I do. Not the way I do it, but the kind I do. The seed. The truth of it. The kernel of it. Am I making any sense? The only nation that God honors is a fruitful nation. The besetting sin of classical kingdom peoples, they've sat on their rear ends for 50 years with a theology and a message, scoffing at prayer, scoffing at evangelism, useless to the kingdom, non-relevant. Why? They have not mixed the word with faith. Don't believe it. Because if this thing ever gets in your belly, it'll move you. You can't sit still. You can't be still. You can't stay the same. You're going to want to run and tell it. You're going to want to share it. Am I making any sense? The criterion for the new holy nation was fruit. Watch this. He says, I'm taking the kingdom from you. Jesus said, he said, I'm walking out of this temple. And when he did, watch this, he said, your house is left unto you desolate. Because when he walked out, it was empty. John 7, it wasn't the feast of Jehovah. By that time, it was the feast of the Jews. Their system, their oral tradition had so contaminated the law. Paul said the law is spiritual. Can't go into all this stuff I'm thinking about. I'm on that stupid clock. But I'm saying something to you. I'm saying something. God cut them off because they weren't fruitful. He took the nation from them because they weren't fruitful. And I'll shock you and scare you, whether it's your church or your life or your ministry, if you're not, and I'm not fruitful with this thing, he'll remove our candlestick. He'll cut it off from us and give it to somebody who'll do something with it. He's sick and tired of just over and over and over again telling the same folk the same thing, and they've never acted on it. Well, you think I'm mad at you, but I'm not. I'm telling you, the holy nation is a fruitful nation. It's the church. The true circumcision, Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Listen to the Amplified. For we Christians are the true circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit and by the Spirit of God, and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ, and put no confidence or dependence, watch this, on what we are in the flesh, on outward privileges and on physical advantages and external appearances. That's so plain. We're the newer heavenly Jerusalem. Zechariah 1:17, God said he would yet choose Jerusalem. John 4:21, Jesus told the woman, he said, you're not going to worship in this mountain or yet at Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. Matthew 5:14, the first thing Jesus called the church was a city. Psalms 48, the city of the great king. That's Jesus. Hebrews 11:10, Abraham looked for a city. He looked for a people whose has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I can't go into Paul's allegory in Galatians 4. There's too much of it. It'd take an hour to break that down the way it should be. Here's the essence. He said, you that desire to hear the law, let me tell you about the law. He said, there's two women. And there's two covenants. It's an allegory. It's a comparison. He said, there's Hagar and there's Sarah. He said, one represents the law, the other represents grace. One's a bondwoman, one's a free woman. He said, the one gendereth to bondage, and the other is our mother. She's free, and she's the mother of us all. He was talking about, watch this, oh, this will get fan mail, two Jerusalems. The earthly one, which the prophet said would become a burdensome stone, and it has, and the heavenly one. Watch this. Watch this. He said that earthly Jerusalem, watch this. Wendell, the word gendereth means it procreates, regenerates, bears, births, and begets. And two is ice into bondage. If you focus on a natural city and a natural temple, it will birth you into bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You don't want to hear what Weymouth said if you focus on a natural Jerusalem. The church is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. He said it bears children destined for slavery. I thought of that, and I thought of our Bible schools. I went to a Bible school. Didn't know spit about nothing. First class, first book they stick under my nose is Larkin. First class, dispensational truth. And they'll tell you, you got to get this. Got to get this is essential. This is foundational. And I think of all the young men and women with a genuine call of God on their life, and right off the bat, they sell into that thing. And they're destined for slavery. And you think it's not a spirit? You think it's not a stronghold? You bring it up. And why is it such a stronghold? Only one reason. Money. And people don't know enough of the word to question it. I'm almost done. Hebrews 12 doesn't say we're marching to Zion. It says you're coming to Zion. He calls that the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He calls it the general assembly and church of the firstborn. And in Revelation 21, 9 and 10, he said to John, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. Galatians 6:16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God, Amplified in Williams' translation says, even upon the true Israel of God. Everything covenantally said about Jesus as the seed of Abraham is now said about his church. I got it all on tape to where I wanted to go tonight. What was all that about? That I'm ahead of myself. If you're not here tomorrow, bear with me. Please bear with me. Here's what it's all about. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you have? Do you know how to get it? We'll never walk forward in faith until we know what that Bible says about us. Every promise he made to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. Watch this. And I'm going to make you a blessing. So men get up in the morning and pray in ignorance, Lord, make me a blessing today. And God's going, when are they going to get it? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're blessed just sitting this close to me. Just tell them. Why did you laugh? That's the truth. Some of you still chuckling. That's not said to be cute. We're programmed not to think that way because we've been programmed to think another way. We've been programmed to think the natural Jew is God's chosen people, and as soon as God gets the church evacuated from the planet, he'll renew the program with the people he really loves. That's what the program has said. We don't believe that he really loves us. We don't believe the passion of the Christ bought us every promise that God made to Abraham. You think this isn't pragmatic? It'll have everything to do with the way you train your children or teach a class. And it's not a self-help. It's not a feel good. It's not a I'm okay, you're okay. It's not secular humanism. No, but it is very, very positive. It's not the power of positive thinking. No, no, no. It's the power of a word that's true. God made, re'o, declared, promises, epi, upon Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. He was heathen. Elijah was not a Jew. He was Tishbite. Abraham declared those things which be not as though they were. Who is the seed of Abraham? Jesus. And because Jesus is the seed of Abraham, who is the seed of Abraham? His church. When God made promise to Abraham, who did he make the promise to? Jesus. Who are joint heirs of that? His church.